The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Welcome to Reality NSFW coverage of The Challenge, Spies, Lies, and Allies. This is episode 13, if I'm guessing correctly.
Yes.
Yes.
Very, very entertaining. Oh, yeah. No, uneventful. Here we go. This podcast should be better than the episode.
It will be. Because I'm going to talk about how all these people are fucking idiots.
Okay. There we go. We got that going for us.
Yeah.
All right. So with that, a couple of news and notes going into this. CT is going to be in a movie.
Yeah.
It's a real movie. Like a Riff Raff's manager explained to me, it's a real show. So, and I was lied to. I was waiting to see Riff Raff. Doors opened at 8. I got there at 10:30. He arrived at 12:30. And he would not get out of the car until everyone left the area. And his manager explained to everyone, it's a real show. 50 minutes. It's a real show. And I was like, come on. He goes, no, it's a real show. And I'm like, okay. So I watch Riff Raff's rapping while smoking a blunt and drinking. And unless he's a ventriloquist, the words were never affected. He was lip syncing. And or at least just rapping over the actual record, which I'm not a fan of. But fast forward to 15 minutes later, and Riff Raff is done. It was indeed not a real show. But CT's movie appears to be a real movie.
Yeah, good for him.
Yeah, I'm excited. So there's an Oscar-winning actor attached to this thing. It's a remake of a 1930s classic.
Yeah, that's all I know about it. I didn't really look much further into it. I was just like, oh, cool. CT's in a movie.
Yeah, so good for him. So, CT, you know, at one time I was not the hugest fan of, but, you know, going in, just putting your head down and not necessarily making the greatest television drama-wise, I feel like he's good for a confessional, and you know when it's time for him to perform, he more than likely is.
Right. Especially now, and like now that he's shed the dad weight and is now just like back into prime body CT.
Yeah. So congrats there. And the other news and notes we'll get to right out of the previously on. But speaking of previously on The Challenge, the Emerald Cell is on the satellite.
It's a little,
it's a little anticlimactic.
Don't you
think? Yeah, they were just preparing us for how predictable and boring the episode was going to be.
Oh, great. Foreshadowing. I like that. That's a good storytelling device, usually used when there's excitement and drama, but not so much in this case. We do have on the previously on, showing Bettina using the completely wrong strategy in the bombs away eliminator.
She was also using the wrong strategy of being pregnant while on the show.
Oh, was she?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
She in the last four seasons, The Challenge has had five women come onto the show and compete while pregnant without them knowing.
Oh, who was last time?
Natalie.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Then Melissa, there was Faith, and who's the other one? There was another one as well. I forget the name at the moment. But yeah, wow. a lot of pregnant girls.
So they don't test for that?
Apparently not.
Mm-mm. I think they will going forward.
We said that last season and the season before that.
It keeps happening, so I'm not really convinced that they're going to test moving forward.
Maybe not. Maybe not. You know what? I think you have a valid argument there.
I mean, if they didn't test properly for getting people quarantined in time to prevent a COVID outbreak for this season, I don't think they're worried about a pregnancy test.
Apparently not. So we have Emmy explaining to us that you know, her entire goal for winning that eliminator, not only staying in the game, but to join up on the cell with Uncle CT, because Uncle CT is like Lady Gaga to her.
Yes. I never thought I would get those two people in a comparison, but you know what? I'm for it.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with that. Lady Gaga, sometimes controversial in her statements through music. And Emmy, no exception. I guess Emmy, according to rumor and innuendo on some of the challenge like Facebook groups, is Emmy may not be in consideration for the next challenge based on her appearance on X Factor. She's in a female music troupe, and Emmy, not the best dancer in the group. But Emmy finishes songs with her rap. Right. And so I feel like there's some that may not be as strong as her performance wise, you know, with that rap is pretty strong, you know, with the combination of the rest of the group. And so, you know, maybe there's some members of the group that are better at dancing than Emmy is. And well, that is, I'm positive of that, but, her rap consists of a lot of F-bombs and being the fuck bomb. And I'm like, who gives a fuck?
Right. Mm-hmm. That's rap.
And I mean, and like, you know, this is in, you know, X Factor Romania. I don't think they give a fuck.
Like, no. are you saying that she has heat because of it?
Well, according as I said, just rumor and innuendo on the channel, they're just like, oh, she said, you know, the F word, you know, multiple times.
Okay, but, we're in America. We're okay.
That's freaking Emmy. That's literally her. She's not doing anything different than she's been doing.
Well, I'm watching her performance. At the end of the performance, the judges stand up and start cheering. It wasn't like the audience was silenced and the judges were like. So, yeah.
I ain't stressing over that. But going back to the comparison of Lady Gaga and CT, because we see it later in the episode as a little thing, is that, you know, another comparison here. Lady Gaga wore a meat dress.
Yep.
And CT grills. He's very good at grilling his meat.
I'm not sure he's so great at grilling. I mean,
I think they just needed something to cue the scene of them grilling for whatever reason.
Oh, I mean, I'm a griller. I have a Big Green Egg outside. I will be firing up the Big Green Egg later this evening. Very excited about it. But I've never been excited about grilling burgers. I'm a steak guy. And anyone that's a griller, I don't, you know, it's just like, yeah, fucking hamburger. Like,
I mean, like, burgers is like the thing that you, like, I used to work like picnics in summers, and I would just like, it's the easy thing. Like, you put a charcoal grill out there and you just make like 50 burgers within like 10 minutes. It's simple.
And if you're grilling for a kid's birthday party, there's no such thing as medium rare.
No, or not no, even everything's, well. Everything's cooked the same.
Yeah.
They ask you what temp it is and you say yes.
Well, it's cooked well, as in, and I think they infer that means good. And no, that is not the case. It is overcooked to death.
Yes.
So
hockey puck.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Hockey pucks. Absolutely. So, yeah. Next, we learn that Logan says that Amanda is the most annoying person here, which that role was previously occupied by was it Amanda B?
Yeah. Oh, no. Amber B?
Amber B.
I was like, that name's not right. Yeah. Amber B. And but unlike Amber B, Amanda is also a poison, and this fact is reinstated by the fact that Nelson, even though he picks up whenever she calls, she is also toxic.
So what I don't get here, and I'm going to stress this, through her limited time on the show, let's say like the last 8 seasons of the show, she's been on 3 of them. She has more daily wins than Corey and Nelson combined, but she doesn't take it seriously.
And I didn't find, like, I haven't seen as to where she's doing anything annoying. I don't feel that she's poisonous or toxic. Like, I felt like she's you know, kind of gone the Ashley Millionaire Mitchell route and kind of just kept her head down, tried to avoid the drama. And I feel like they instigated the drama.
They created drama. Like, I was texting my buddies about this while I was watching the show today. And I was just like, they were like, Amanda was so annoying because she wasn't helping. I was like, they just spent the entire night talking shit about her. Why would you help? It's not, and like, I'm not, like, if I'm in a man's shoes, I'm not in immediate danger here. It's a guy's elimination. They're talking shit about me. Go in elimination. Have fun. I'm going to stand here.
Yeah. So, no, I felt that that was a self-inflicted wound to the Team Ruby.
Well, it's also them putting the blame literally on everyone else but themselves. And that's what even what she pointed out. And if I'm in her shoes, I absolutely agree with what Alex said. Fuck them. If they're going to talk all this shit about me, I'm not trying, because guess what, bitches? You're going to go home, not me, because it's not a girl's elimination.
But Amanda's also great in confessional, like Ashley. Oh, yeah. I love her, like, immediately going in. It's like, I'm on Team Ruby. Love the Devil Wears Red. Love the color. Hate the team.
Yeah. So, no, I mean, you had Corey 2 episodes ago, you know, doing this whole, like, team bonding exercise. You know, it's mind over matter. Let's will this into existence. If we all work together as a cohesive unit, there's no way we can lose. And I feel like, you know, she's added to Team Ruby or Team Ruby. And and they just immediately, they're like, no. And I'm just like, you're kind of, I went from 2 weeks ago saying I'm looking for a Corey win to when he's in the eliminator, I'm just like, am I rooting for Logan at this point?
So I was still rooting for Corey at the end, more so just because I wanted someone who would actually shake up the house a little bit. Like, there's so, like, everyone's being so kumbaya here, and Corey's like, when you're suddenly the one who has the back against the wall, he doesn't give a fuck. I loved his plan of being like, I'm gonna go down, I will win, I will then tank the Emerald team and keep going elimination and take everyone else out.
I like all that with the exception of Devin being collateral damage. I did not like
that. I still believe because Nelson was also trying to back Devin there. I think with Nelson and other people around, he would have taken Josh out first.
I think he would have gone for Josh because he seemed more upset with Josh once Nelson and Devin had that conversation. And I think Nelson would be able to get in Corey's ear and say, you know what, it's not Devin's fault. Based on the facts and the information, take Josh's place, because that would have been amazing to see. Because it's boring just seeing the team win over and over again, and still people aren't shaking it up at all.
And like, here's the issue with that team winning over and over again. Like, you have Devin and Josh, who are great and confessional. Tori stands on her own for her confessional. She's been getting better this season for me. The issue is Nani's confessionals are boring. Casey doesn't get confessionals because they only let her rehash what the challenge is, or saying something that's already been said by 2 other people. And Emmanuel's a rookie, so I'm not as invested in him yet.
Yeah, Sam Fitzgerald says, you know, we needed a Corey win. The Emerald team needed to be shaken up. I agree with that. I just, everything that brought me to the dance here with Corey in the last few episodes, mm-hmm. I felt dissipated. Yeah. And so it's not like everything up to now didn't want me to root for Corey and the shakeup of the Emerald Cell. All that I agree with. It's just the guy that I was so rooting for the last 2 episodes, that guy wasn't there going into this, this eliminator.
Well, I'm looking forward to him coming back the next season. If he's allowed to travel, cause like, you know, insider notes, he wasn't allowed to go to Amsterdam, due to reasons.
What is that?
Allegedly, he may or may not have views on vaccination.
Oh, okay. Well,
allegedly.
But I would be excited to see him come back, because I think he would be coming back with like not even caring if he wins, just be like, I'm headhunting.
Oh yeah,
I'm gonna take out every single person who's wronged me.
Oh, I'm here all day for Josh versus Corey.
I think that'd be funny.
Yeah. I mean, like, you can even call it, you know, whatever season, the challenge, Josh versus Corey. I want to see it.
Who do you think wins the battle, actually, though?
I mean, it depends on the teams.
Yeah.
I mean, they can stack it one way or the other. So, I mean, like, if it's head-to-head, once again, it depends on what the eliminator is in that. But, like, Josh has turned into...
He's getting in better shape also.
He's in great shape in comparison to his very first challenge season.
Yeah. So, and mentally, I think he's...
Oh, yeah.
But he's still... He almost... Like, you know, he's having a debate with Corey before the deliberation and or either after right around there it's in the note. But anyway, you know, he's just like he goes, you know, I'm not gonna talk to you if you want to fight. But then he wasn't allowing Corey to talk and Corey was just talking.
Right. And Corey even said, like, I'm just talking here. Yeah. I'm not
and Josh's voice was raising.
Yeah. So because Josh is there for the TV moments. Like you know. That's what he does, and that's why I've grown to love Josh again, after not liking him earlier in his challenge career. But you know, it's like Corey and Nelson also like have that talk in the pre-mission phase where they're like, "We don't want to be got." Like Corey's still bitter that he was put down to begin with. Like he's like, "Oh, I thought we had this vet alliance," and I keep going back like, "Well, two episodes ago, you weren't targeting a rookie; you were targeting Ashley." To go down, like a vet. So, does the vet only work for the men, or?
Bob Wright, who are you rooting for? I mean, my favorites are still Devin and Kyle.
I mean, like I would love to
see Mitchell, of course.
Like I would love to see either any of them win. But at this point, you know, peek into my take for the episode. I'm like, at this point, I have to root for CT because all these people are fucking idiots and not targeting him.
Yep. I think CT has it because people are letting him slide by each and every single round, aren't putting him down in there because they're way too scared. And that's the thing. CT, I mean, I got to give props to him because he has been able to avoid elimination. Yes, people are scared that he could go in and win and everything, but they're not going to ever take the shot at him. And that's why he's going to go all the way to the final.
But I do have a problem with the cell format in that when it's time for a daily mission.
Yeah.
And one cell has six people, one cell has five, and one side has one cell has four. The cell with additional players should be forced to sit out however many players to make it even.
They used to do that in previous seasons, but we kind of touched on this, Alex and I did last week, where I almost made the statement, well, then you should just fucking win. Because if that's the advantage that you get by having more people that are going to be able to help you in the dailies, then that's, you know,
easier said than done. But, you know,
they did because I think that's the difference in seconds of them winning with, you know, two extra sets of hands.
Right. Yeah. I just need this phase to end.
Yeah.
It was a fun jolt for a couple episodes, but when I was saying to someone, I was like, it's literally like the beginning of season 41. Like Emerald Team just turned them blue. They're the Luvu tribe. Like they're just winning every single time. So they're all safe, but like, you're not really getting a ton from them. You get stuff from Devin and Tori and Josh, but you don't get anything from like the other half of them, so you're not getting their stories. And then you just have Corey as and Nelson as the other main focus. That's it. And then you put in a Kyle confessional here and there. Like, so you're not hearing from everyone, and it's just boring strategy because it's every for four straight weeks it was Emerald wins, we're scared someone's going to infiltrate us, let's put someone down who won't infiltrate us. They don't infiltrate because they're fucking dumb.
But you can't also blame the Emerald side for having good strategy on who to put in because then they know those people aren't going to come and infiltrate them. I'm not blaming them.
Yeah, no, it's the other people.
Yeah.
Yeah, the other people should break up. I mean, like, it's insanity.
But they don't want to ruin their friendships, man. Their friendships that they made over 2 weeks.
Yes, they
will. Yeah, I don't understand.
Okay, but anyway, fun. That. You know, while they were cooking... getting us back on track here, they were cooking. Emmanuel was, first he talks about his Romania thing of kids on Christmas Day. They kill a pig and then the kids take selfies on the corpse of the pig.
And we saw the selfie.
That is a manual.
Yes, that is that is a manual. Tori and Emmanuel enjoy beer pong. They later enjoy a shower.
Snaking the drain.
Emmanuel was snaking the drain.
Doing some plumbing. Shower was broken. How many euphemisms can they make?
Laying pipe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you had Big T lurking around the corner.
She's a lurker. It's all right.
Hey.
I mean, if I've been known to see people.
You know what? Big T was probably bored. And she was like, oh, is someone in the bathroom?
It's either I watch people have sex or get yelled at for eating donuts. I mean, what are you going to do?
I mean, like, at least when Big T does it, it's a little bit adorable because it's Big T. When certain other challengers that will remain nameless do it, it's borderline creepy. And ooh, multiple other challengers have talked about this.
Oh, who's that?
Someone who has a podcast.
Ooh, okay. There we go.
Yes, we went there today. There you go, folks.
The rivalry stays alive.
Yes, keep it up. So we then learn this is the Logan episode. In case you're wondering why this episode was so boring, it was the Logan episode. We learned that Logan hates English. English viewers hate Logan, so the feeling's mutual there. Josh speaks Spanish to make Logan feel more at home. And through that conversation, we are so provided the insight that that is Logan just wants a surfboard.
Yeah, Logan just wants a surfboard.
I feel like Corey could have purchased a surfboard for Logan and shit would have worked out a lot better for everyone involved.
Yeah, he's like, dude, I got that Teen Mom money. I will buy you 5 surfboards.
I mean, he does have kids. Like, to be on Teen Mom, you have to have kids.
Okay, so okay.
The two surfboards.
Two. Yeah, two.
That's one more than he really needed.
He's like, great. I'll hop off this right now.
Yeah. And I think TJ would understand.
Yeah. Plus, like, I don't think TJ... Well, I guess now that he's won multiple times, they'll be like, oh, maybe we'll see you in the future when he eventually leaves the game. But I'm like, I really don't want him to come back. He's boring.
Even if he wins, I don't want to see him again.
I don't want him to come back either. But my only concern is I think if he continues to progress through the season and, say, wins one more elimination, I think they will bring him back, even though we don't want it. But I think they will.
But you know what? End of the day, I don't see him, like, going up against Josh just because of the friendship thing and they wouldn't, like, do it. Everyone else, depending on the elimination, I actually feel pretty confident they would beat Logan.
Yeah. Logan wants a surfboard, which I'm guessing, I mean, you know, he explained to us that he plays, you know, tennis and football and all these things, but I'm guessing since he wants a surfboard, he probably knows how to surf. Being a surfer, probably the best preparation for that eliminator.
Oh yeah.
Sure. Anything else.
Yeah. And like, we saw a version of that just on the previous All-Star season, where like they had Mark Long and Kendall won on the stumps against Katie and Letarian.
Yep.
Who 3 of those will be back starting next week.
Starting next week. Oh, got to figure out that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, ultimately, if he really wanted a surfboard, he should have probably been on many, many seasons ago where they actually gave away those prizes to everyone for winning.
And it would have been like if Razor made a surfboard.
Mm-hmm.
So it would have been like a Walmart surfboard. But I don't think he wants a Walmart surfboard.
But really,
you never know. It's Logan. You don't know.
Yeah,
he might.
Yeah,
I feel like that's why he hates English, because we go to Walmart. Yeah. I don't.
I don't either. But it's like what I really took out of that conversation was I was like disregarding everything Logan was saying. I was like getting that pool for Josh there because like, I understand what Josh is saying about building that connection. I think it's similar to what we saw on like Big Brother and on and what we see a little bit in Survivor right now. It's when people who have like something that connects them that's beyond the game, that just like makes you a little bit closer. So it's like it's just stuff like that. Be like, oh, I don't need to like be in the game mode. I'll talk in Spanish. We can just chill. It's like they're feeling safe with each other. They feel comfort.
Yeah. And like, you know, Logan's talking, you know, post the challenge, Logan's like, hey, you know, come see me. I live, you know, in paradise and and, you know, we're both single and we can do bad things together and it'll be great. Whereas, you know, Corey's like, hey, you want to come and hang out with my kids?
That's
a shitty offer.
Not a good one. I mean,
I'm sure his kids are great, but, you know, and I have kids, but like, I feel like Logan's tempt is much more attractive.
I have to give Josh credit though. Josh is actually playing a really good social game because he's able to keep someone in the game that he knows is never going to target him in Logan and convince basically everybody else on his emerald cell to not put Logan in. So
I was shocked.
Yeah, I think Josh is doing amazing this season, and we very well could see him get to the final because of his social game.
And you know what? Good on the show for like planting this seed very early on in the season where they were showing that connection starting the build. Like they were targeting the rookies, but Josh was like, but this rookie I want to have under my wing. Yeah. Like this is someone I think I can have on my side. And now they developed that friendship and now they have that alliance. So it paid off. So, you know what? Good job showing that beforehand.
Do you feel like maybe there's a relationship between Devin and Logan that we haven't seen? Because I can't imagine Devin going along with the plan that doesn't benefit him as well.
I think we've seen him back down a lot this season.
You think, he's just playing the head in the sand, making moves when they have to be?
Right, because there was when Corey and Bettina went down, Devin was on the side of, I want Ashley to go down.
Yeah.
I want CT to go down. But those weren't options to everyone else, so he backed off. And he just said in this episode, like, the last two male eliminations, I wanted Logan down there. Yeah. Josh is a big factor as to why it's not, because even though Devin is building his way back up by building these connections, Josh had these connections already. So, like, I think Josh has more social sway over these political decisions than Devin does, but Devin's going to get those.
Yeah.
Right. Josh has had a lot more pull, but I think Devin is being a little more subtle with his game at the moment, but I think it's going to pick up pretty soon because I think Devin is always out there for Devin and he's going to do what's best for himself. But at the same time, he doesn't want that bullseye to come back on him. So I think he's letting someone else take the lead for a little bit now, but then I think he's going to take control soon.
I'm more than okay.
I'm 100% on board with that.
But I would just like episodes, not like the one from last night.
Right.
In the interim.
Right. It's like, it's a lot of like, we're building stuff up, but it's like, how many episodes do we have to waste building something up? Why can't we just have it?
Yeah.
Come on, make the good TV. You're getting
Survivor didn't get it right either. They built something up and then we didn't get the full episode and got no vote until last night.
This should have been a 60-minute episode though, and they should have known.
I agree. They stretched it out.
Yeah, I mean, as the grilling fucking scene, go fuck yourself.
And it was like they really only needed the grilling scene to get to Emmanuel and Tori hooking up, but we already know that Emmanuel and Tori are hooking up.
Yeah.
We gained nothing new from it.
And they could have fast-forwarded much more through the daily because that was really boring shit to watch, to be honest.
Well, prior to the daily, Big T eats her donuts. She gets chanted at Breakfast of Losers.
I disagree.
Well, my friends at Magic Spoon disagree with you.
Oh, yes. No, I get that. I get that. Promo code.
Promo code Survivor.
They love it when you say that. But, you know what? I'm on Big T's side here. Like, she works. She does do her work. And it's like, she's not out of shape. Like, she's in good shape. Let her have her donut. She's like, I like my pizza and I like my donut. Sue me.
She had like six donuts. Who has six donuts on the
plate? I don't think they were all meant for just her.
I think they were. Because everyone
else was saying like, oh, do I have a donut or not have a donut? Like we heard Ashley say that too.
Big T might have scooped up her plate there. But I mean, there's no way I'm eating a donut before going into a challenge. It's just not happening.
I mean, it's not a girl's day.
It's not a girl's day, number one. Fair. And number two, I'm sure you're there for like 6 hours.
Yeah, you're going to be starving.
Yeah, you're going to be starving. So it's just like, you know, I just want some sugar. I just woke up. I want some sugar. I say that every time I wake up and there's someone in bed with me.
Oh man.
If only we had a Honey Lube sponsor.
Oh my god.
Anyway, so we're at the mission.
On this podcast, it just looks better.
It's called Sunken Intelligence. Your enemy shipwrecked boat with three diamonds on it.
It was not three diamonds. He said that, but that was a lie.
He said that.
Yeah,
I'm going based off what he said.
Yeah, they each had their own cell jewel in there. Did you notice that?
Yeah, it was a diamond. That's what TJ said.
Okay, well then,
so they're badass diamonds. Okay,
so there was a green diamond, a red diamond, and a blue diamond.
Exactly. They just color it.
TJ fucked up. They should have caught that in post.
Yeah. But anyway, you have it's a timed event. You have to retrieve your diamond, but first you have to untangle
a diamond.
your emerald, your ruby, your sapphire, your ruby.
That's too wordy.
Your jewels.
He should have just said diamond.
Yeah.
Your jewels.
But anyway, you have to untangle 150 feet of heavy tangled rope, clip it to the treasure chest with your insert, whatever you want to put in there.
Then that changes everything.
Wow.
And drag it to the shore, place it on your podium. That's your time.
Yeah. I like to drag it to the shore, place it on the podium, and stick it in.
There you go.
All right.
I don't think you want it clipped onto a rope.
I'm naming you Diamond.
This podcast has taken a turn, but here we are. This is why we come back every single week, people.
More entertaining than the episode, I assure you. Just can we put that in the description? Johnny Fairplay names his penis Diamond. Here's good. Roll credits. We're good. All right. Devin explains the Emerald Cell strategy, and I'm just like, that's a pretty good strategy.
Yeah, like in paper, without you actually seeing what it looks like, it makes complete sense.
Yeah. And they claimed that they didn't execute, but
Devin said it was shit.
Like they did. Well, I mean, they obviously executed because they fucking won.
Well, yeah, but they had more hands to get the job done.
They had more hands.
And they also had more, like, not just more hands, but more active.
Active like, hands? People. Jazz hands?
Active people.
They had jazz hands. Sweet.
I caught myself there. But
you're going to say jazz hands?
Yeah, I mean, I don't catch myself in Johnny.
But yeah, like when you have six people all working together to get it done, that's going to be quicker than even, like, the chaotic mess that was Rube. But, you know, more manpower is always going to be a benefit, especially when they're communicating. And they at the minimum, they communicate well with each other.
Yep. So, no, they did. Athletically, they're Devin put the right people in the right spots. So anyway, it seems as though it didn't work. Apparently does. Tori explains that she puts her body on the line for her guys. We've seen that.
Yes. Yep. She did it earlier this episode.
Yeah, I was about to say that. It's not challenge related always, but that's okay. Good for her.
She's a team player. She likes her team.
Wow. Did you watch AEW last night?
I haven't gotten to it yet.
Paige Van Zandt, she told Chris Jericho's Inner Circle group, she was like, I'll take on all five of you at one time. And Jericho goes, you like taking on five guys? All right. All right.
But yeah, so Emerald finishes theirs. Yeah. So let's move over to Sapphire.
And TJ said, he goes, they're diamonds in the chest. And I'm like, no, it's not. That's not true.
They're diamonds.
It's not a diamond.
They're diamonds. If TJ said it, it must be true.
Yes. All right.
You have to earn a diamond to run his final.
Oh, no.
But apparently Ashley thinks Kyle's a fish boy.
He He's not a fish boy.
I don't have gills.
Oh my god.
I feel like Ashley during dailies can be a little tough to deal with because I think she just yells at everyone.
It's amazing to watch though.
Oh my god.
It's great.
Yeah, I mean, like, she could be saying the worst things in the world about me, and if she's wearing that dress, I'm allowing it.
Mm.
So there is that. So, but
very
but
good dress.
Kyle is not a fish boy. Can we honestly just be like, you know, and that was the highlight of the episode?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, like Kyle's always a highlight of the episode.
But that, for this, that like, I mean, like, I'm you know, looking through the rest of my notes. I'm not a fish boy.
I mean, like, that's a very good line.
Yeah, it's a t-shirt.
But yeah, it's like, oh well, you have to go talk to him about it. But I know someone on the last podcast was commenting about wanting Kyle to be on here. I think you guys would get along very well, Johnny.
I think so too. We'll see. I don't even know if I'm following him on social media.
That sounds like a you problem.
It does sound like a me problem. So, but he might not watch Survivor because he's not from, like, he's from the UK, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
They don't give a fuck about Survivor over there.
Probably not.
Yeah, I think they had their version of Survivor or Sweden. I don't know, whoever, and it was a flop.
Ah.
So that's why you haven't seen like Survivors on like, you know, Big Brother UK, stuff like that.
Yeah. Wasn't it like Shipwreck or something like that?
Yeah. I think that's where Big T came from.
Yeah, I think that's what it was. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like a version of Survivor, but it's not. It's like it involves like two islands. Whatever. That's we're losing the plot.
Is it Pirate Master?
Oh my god.
Does Russell want to apply for it?
Did you guys watch Pirate Master?
I did.
No.
My dad,
the off-brand Rupert was on the season.
Yes, they did. They did have low budget Rupert, and my dad was all in. And because it was on like Survivor's time slot, but it was summer programming.
Mm-hmm.
And then like the last four episodes, they moved to a different time slot, and then it was one of those like check your local listings, like just wherever your local channel, your local CBS affiliate. Affiliate chooses to, so like you know, like Sunday at 2 a.m. like it got tough, and then finally I think it went to like online only.
It did. I finished the season online because I just wanted to know who won, but
yeah. And my dad was so, he comes there, is like, how are you able to watch television online? That doesn't even make sense. So but I think the girl that won ended up committing suicide.
Oh damn.
Yeah.
I actually think you're correct on that.
Yeah. So, and I think it was partially related to, you know, because they built their, you know, they kind of built it like, this is the next Survivor. You're going to be famous.
And then nothing happened.
Well, I mean, people didn't even see the fucking end of the show.
That's what I mean. So, yeah. And nothing happened.
It's less than famous.
It kept getting cut each and every single week, you know, finding ways to get it off of the television screen. Yeah.
So I feel like that wasn't the only factor, but I think that was a contributing factor. So, but which Kendra is at Hearts Reality every year, and she was on Pirate Master. She's cool. So.
That's good.
And yeah. I've never had to see fake low budget Rupert again, so that was good.
That's always a good thing.
Like the real Rupert sucks. I mean, low budget Rupert, come on. Like, and he was like insanely short. It's very creepy.
Oh man, sounds like a hybrid of two people that I don't want to meet. anyway.
Oh yeah, he does.
Yeah.
Oh my god, I wonder if that was him. Could have been. It was me the whole time. I was making Pirate Master great again.
But yeah, so we got Fish Boy, Kyle, and Emmy, who's deciding that she wants to like strangle herself with the ropes.
Yes.
So both of them sort of caused that could, Sapphire that to not thing. Do well.
I'm not sure. Yeah, I don't know.
Man. They don't do well.
Emmy is correct in her assessment in that just tell me exactly what to do, I can do it.
Yeah, and
they kind of let her fend for herself a little bit.
Right, like she was in sort of like the Amanda spot of like, you're not going underneath, you're like just supposed to untangle, but I think CT was just so busy actually doing the work.
Everything for everyone?
Yeah, so that she didn't get the direction. So she's like, okay, do I put this around my neck?
Yeah.
Then no one said no.
Yes. Yeah, that's why Emmy just needs someone that has that leadership capability to tell her exactly what to do, and that she's a great person to have on your team. But if you just leave her hanging, she has no clue what she
may be one of the most self-aware people on the show, where she's like, she says all that and then she goes, I don't know what I'm doing. I have no clue.
She's a perfect soldier.
Yeah. She's not a leader. Just follows directions, be a bulldog.
Yeah. All right. Lucas S says hi, just stopping by for support. Oh, we appreciate support. And also point out that all three of you have beautiful eyes. What the fuck? Oh,
thank you.
I agree.
See, only positive things on this show.
That's why people listen to the podcast, just to hear about our beautiful eyes.
Yeah, right. Don't look at them. only see them.
Do not make
eye see them contact. With your ears.
Yes, they're beautiful. All right, so Kyle continuously pulls the wrong way, and then it's time for Team Ruby.
And they have a really good plan. Their plan is they tell Amanda, yes, do nothing.
Oh, okay.
And guess what? Guess what? They get mad at Amanda. Why? For doing nothing.
That's not true. She did do something.
She posed. She did
the Titanic.
You know what? I think that was inspiring to them because they were moving fast.
I would be inspired by Amanda doing it. I do the Titanic pose whenever possible. I will.
Oh, I know this is falling off track. Johnny, you know who would totally do the Titanic pose? King George.
Oh, yes.
Oh, my God.
I did the Titanic pose! Look at me!
I'm king of the world!
King of the world! Oh, I love King George.
Oh, okay,
so,
man.
Yes. We need to call him in. Join that team.
Yes. Oh, my God, he'd be perfect for Team Ruby. Shockingly, Emerald wins again.
Us, but you know what? Based off the times that they were showing us,
yeah,
it did look like it was a lot closer than what people were expecting between Ruby and Emerald. Which is funny because everyone keeps saying, "Look how strong Sapphire is," but yeah, it's always Emerald first, Ruby second.
Well, they just need to get to a point where they're running and doing that, because right, I actually think Sapphire has the stronger crew, because a majority of the final is a ton of running, and I think that group of people could crush it.
Yeah, but I hate to break it to all of them, because they seem to forget there's no fucking way TJ's gonna run them in those type of teams in the final.
No, but not necessarily in an eliminator, but Sapphire with Logan instead of Kyle, those four could win out the cell part of the show.
They could. They definitely could. I could see them winning next week.
Yeah, there's no weak link in there.
Mm-mm. Well, as long as you tell Emmy what to do, there's no weak link.
And as long as Ashley doesn't yell at every single person.
Ashley can yell all she wants.
I mean, like, you have the two, it looks like in the next episode, there's a puzzle involved, and you have the two best puzzle people.
CT and Ashley,
yeah. Yeah, the only person who's competition for them is Devin.
Yeah.
But he's only one person.
Yeah, it's two versus one.
Yeah.
And I mean, I guess all three. Is CT better than Devin?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so, for sure.
CT's like, you talk about like the good players, the great players, and the goated. He's goated.
Yeah. Yeah. He's great. He's really great. So props to him. Emerald wins again. And with that,
mm-hmm, let's hear from some of our sponsors.
Yes. Lucy Nicotine is a company founded by Caltech scientists and former smokers looking for a better and cleaner nicotine alternative. Finally, tobacco alternatives that don't suck.
Researched and developed for 3 years to be made for people, not patients. Lucy has created a nicotine gum with 4 milligrams of nicotine that comes in 3 flavors, wintergreen, cinnamon, and pomegranate. Lucy also has a lozenge with 4 milligrams of nicotine in cherry ice flavor. Each and every flavor actually tastes great and is convenient and discreet. Products can be enjoyed anywhere, on flights, at work, on the go, or even in the gym.
I am so happy that Lucy is sponsoring us. Ever since they came on board, I have gotten no less than 5 of my friends transitioned over to Lucy and put their cigarettes down. They like the gum. I'm used to seeing the packages all around.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
This stuff is great, and it's really helping people make much healthier choices. So get on board and join the Lucy movement.
Hey, it's 2021. Get rid of your cigarettes, unplug your vape, throw out your dip, and get some Lucy nicotine gum or lozenges. This is the real deal. A subscription to Lucy comes directly to your door each month. It's so simple that you don't even have to leave your house because Lucy has delivery down.
Reality NSFW listeners, go to lucy.co and use promo code SURVIVOR to get 20% off all products, including gum or lozenges. That's lucy.co and use promo code SURVIVOR at checkout. Also, I have to give this disclaimer. Warning, this product contains nicotine derived from tobacco. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. That's lucy.co, and be sure to use that promo code SURVIVOR.
This episode of Reality NSFW is sponsored by Blue Chew. Say it with us, Blue Chew. Blue Chew is making waves and bringing more confidence to the bedroom by offering chewable tablets that can help men get stronger and longer lasting erections. That's right, we're giving away super hard dicks.
Blue Chew is a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but in chewable form and at a fraction of the cost. Blue Chew's tablets help men achieve harder, stronger erections to combat all forms of ED.
Blue Chew is an online prescription service, so no visits to the doctor offices, no awkward conversations, and no waiting in line at the pharmacy. And it ships right to your door in a discreet package. The process is simple. Sign up at BlueChew.com, consult with one of their licensed medical providers, and once you're approved, you'll receive your prescription within days. And the best part? It's all done online.
BlueChew's licensed medical providers work with you to find the right ingredient and strength for your prescription. Don't like swallowing pills? No problem here. BlueChew's Sildenafil and Tadalafil tablets are chewable. Blue Chew's tablets are made in the USA, and they prepare and ship direct, so it's cheaper than a pharmacy.
Hey, if you're looking to give that immunity idol to someone, or you don't want to be voted out of a crater, don't worry. Blue Chew's got you covered. So if you could benefit from extra confidence when it's time to perform, visit BlueChew.com for more details and important safety information.
And we've got a special deal for our listeners. Try Blue Chew free when you use promo code SURVIVOR at checkout. Just pay $5 shipping. That's Blue Chew, BlueChew.com, promo code SURVIVOR to receive your first month free. And we thank Blue Chew for sponsoring the podcast.
And we're back. And for the people watching on YouTube, Johnny's not back in his seat yet, but you can see a Jeff Probst sign behind him.
Yeah, it looks great, doesn't it?
Yeah, so while we wait for Johnny, I guess we can talk about, so Emerald One, they're now fourth win in a row. They're just dominating, and Devin is making everyone know that they're dominating.
In classic Devin fashion, getting the troops together in the kitchen, doing the rah-rah, and then we have Emmanuel attempting to eat a plant.
I think he actually was eating the plant.
I just wasn't ready for that.
You know, like Tori just the other week, like heading into their reunion tapings, was talking about how she wanted other people to try going vegan for a week. So she obviously just got to Emmanuel ahead of time.
Maybe so. Maybe so. I mean, we've seen Emmanuel go after biting a few things, including some butts. So, I mean, you just don't know what he's looking for.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Don't know what he's looking for. But I love Ashley also saying, I don't think Devin's ever won in his life.
Sorry, I peed on my deck.
Great, great.
I thought you were going to get yourself a blue chew. I don't know.
Oh my God. I'm out of action for a little bit.
Yeah, so John, we were just talking about.
I went 8 times in 12 hours, and guess what? 7 was the magic number.
There you go.
Oh, man.
Well, 7 is usually a magic number, so.
Yeah, well, I thought so. Number 8 was unwillingly.
Yeah, so we were just talking about how, like, Devin was, like, making a big statement of the fact that they won and was like making the whole house know, and Ashley's confessional of like, I don't think Devin's ever won in his life. So yeah.
Ashley just goes into these confessionals just angry. I think they know what they have with Ashley, that she's so great that they're just like, she's a great narrator. If we don't have time to get to everyone, we want to make sure we get to her. So I think right. she's one of the first, and they wake her up and she's like, God, like let me sleep in. And they're like, no, Ashley, you're the best. And she just shows up angry because she would rather sleep for like an extra 30
minutes. It's also like she's biting her tongue a lot in the house to the point where she's like, okay,
that's
okay,
true.
It's confessional day, let me get some of my biting like takes right now. And yeah. then when she doesn't think she's done enough, she then like she openly admits this, she'll drink on Wednesday nights and then tweet a lot of really bad shit and then apologize it the next day.
Yeah, she will. She unleashes everything in her confessionals, and I think how can you not bring that back every single season?
Well,
you
she's that. Like without like saying it, because we truly haven't had like a female face of the challenge since Cara Maria, like without like an official name, Ashley is like the unofficial face for the female side of the challenge.
I think so. And like, you know, I wasn't familiar, like, you know, I had taken years off from watching right. the challenge. So I wasn't very familiar with her, you know, when I started back watching last season, you know, and I see this beautiful girl, Ashley Millionaire Mitchell, and I'm just like, oh my God, look at her. And then she talks and she has a Southern accent, and that's usually not embraced by production or, you know, viewers as a whole. You know,
or like, because- especially not embraced as like, oh, this person's actually like intelligent.
Yeah, because the Southern accent is often confused with ignorance.
Right.
So and she's you know she's a smart person, and she's funny and she's hilarious, and the fact that they allow that Southern accent as a narrator for a quote unquote cool show, I love it.
Oh, I agree. Yeah. Like, that's what I like about the challenge. Like, as much as we do get higher percentage of duds come into the challenge house. You do get, like, when you strike gold, you're striking gold. Or diamonds, apparently. Oh. Everything's a diamond.
Oh, man.
Yeah, but they do a good job getting rid of the duds. They bring them on for one season and are like, all right, they suck, never going to bring them back again. And then the people that do become somewhat staples, they bring them back each and every season because people actually want to see them. Whether they're compelling to watch and listen to, that's a different story.
I mean, they brought Nam on twice.
Well, I was about to say, and Nam.
Yeah, I wasn't ready for Nam to make an appearance, but I guess, you know, he exited his way out gracefully, you know?
They just didn't show him.
Yeah. So, anyway.
It's club time.
Yeah, so, all right. Amanda doesn't like Ruby. The feeling is, Team Ruby, feeling is mutual. The club is a crappy time for Ruby discussion.
Right.
Why? Like, look.
I am here to drink.
Drown your sorrows if you're Team Ruby. Not, I mean, and it wasn't even a morale boosting conversation.
No, it's you suck.
It was a accusatory blame conversation, which is even worse in the club setting.
Right. And like at the end of the day, you guys told her not to do anything.
Yeah.
She only followed direction.
Yeah. And she has to feel that they don't like, you know, it's like, why aren't you hanging out with Team Ruby? It's like, because you don't like me.
And she felt that from the moment that she ended up on their team. And that's why she's like, love the color red, like, hate my team. I don't blame her for doing that whatsoever. And the fact that she's in there trying to defend herself, she's absolutely right, because they're just trying to place the blame on somebody else because she listened to what they told her to do. If you wanted her to help, tell her to help, but you didn't tell her to help at all.
Like, am I calling Amanda the best player ever? No, I'm not saying that. But that Nelson and Corey have this understanding that means if you don't go to the gym 24/7, you're not dedicating your life to the challenge, or like you're not dedicating your heart to it. Like if you're in there, you're not playing to win, you're just existing there. Like there's so many other aspects to the game, and there's a reason why Nelson and Corey always find themselves on the bottom more times than not. And it's because people like Amanda, they use their social politics to get in positions where they're protected by others. And guess what? Sometimes if you're not looking like a jacked beast, people are like, oh, we can bring you along because maybe you'll be a layup. But like, Amanda's a scrapper. Like, she's not nothing. Like, they're treating her as if she's this D-list player.
Well, truth be told, I will give it to Team Ruby, because after the conference that they had, everyone is on the same page that they're all working together, and Amanda is now on a kamikaze mission.
Right.
So if that was the end game, mission success.
Yeah, I was also waiting for Amanda to completely spill that glass of wine that she was holding, because we just I don't know how she kept it up.
I was just upset there wasn't
every time.
I was upset there wasn't a straw in it this time.
Maybe she was saving her straw for later.
Fessy wasn't in the house anymore.
Yeah,
don't get me started about Fessy. I'm just so glad I haven't had to talk about him that much.
Hey, we're gonna be talking about him soon. He was referenced.
Yeah.
Anyway, time for deliberation, and it's up in the air. No one knows who it's gonna be. It could be anyone, which means they went to a commercial.
Right. But I actually do believe this is the first time where they weren't in unanimous decision on who it was going to be.
Yeah.
Like they went in there with other ideas.
Yeah. So, and that was, but still, I mean, like this episode should have been 45 minutes plus commercials.
So you know what I hate about the pitches for why they shouldn't be picked? If your team Emerald,
everything?
Well, yes. But it's like, if your team Emerald, like, obviously, you want to keep your team the strongest.
Yeah.
And CT and Corey are all, like, saying, like, you know, I think I have this good team. We can be better moving forward. So if you can keep us intact, that'd be great. I would be on them and be like, why the fuck would I do that then? Yeah. I want to be the winner all the time. So, CT, lace up your bootstraps. You're going down there, man. Have fun. Yeah.
No, I think the argument should just be, I won't fuck with y'all.
Yeah, and that's essentially what CT was saying. He's like his pitch is this entire season is, I'm not your enemy. I am your enemy, but I'm not your enemy.
Don't make me your enemy.
It's like the overarching threat of, do you really want the legend that is CT to be against you? My mind is, I agree with Nani in the sense, without saying it, Nani and Tori were basically calling their team a bunch of pussies for not going after CT. Because like Tori was trying to make the pitch. She was like, you guys, like, if you get CT down there and he wins, like, you know what? If he infiltrates us, he infiltrates us. But he's not going to tank his chance to win.
Yep.
Also, he can't take all of us down.
Yep.
So,
where's
the threat of CT? There is no threat of CT.
They never make the move. They never make the move on CT. And that's why CT gets to the finals and wins.
This was the episode to make the move against CT. Roll the dice. Because he doesn't want to be on Emerald. And if he does, guess what? You got CT.
Right. Like if you're the girl.
It's win-win.
Like, you're the girl.
If you're a girl, it's win-win.
Oh, yeah. Because you can do it.
Win-win. And also, like, for someone like a Devin, like, Devin wants CT gone. So, like, the girls coach just, like, stroke Devin's ego. Be like, hey, this would be a huge move for you. Because I think the only thing has to be, they just have to have a majority on a name when they all vote.
That's it.
It's like they just can't tie.
Yep.
In their decision.
And then potentially TJ decides.
I think TJ's just like, all of you go down.
Yeah. Well, he threatens that, but I'm just like, there's no way he's putting six people down there.
No, it's just the guys.
Yeah.
It's a three-way hall brawl.
Right.
They just added another insert.
You never know. I will say, if they would have put CT down and then CT does win and wants to infiltrate over to Emerald, probably taking Josh's spot, and then your team is just stacked.
Yeah, the goof, as they called them last season.
Your team from there is literally stacked. So I agree with what you're saying, Johnny and Alex. If you're a girl, who the hell cares?
Oh, he's not taking Josh's spot. He's taking Emmanuel's.
Ooh, okay.
Because he would respect the
Veteran Alliance.
Like, I would say more so he's respecting the other people who didn't betray him. So like the Sapphire and Ruby team be like, hey, you guys didn't fuck me over. Here's a rookie for you.
Yeah.
That's fair, but I still think if you want the best winning team, it's taking Josh's spot.
I disagree. Josh has a good strength in there. Like, especially like they all have their own strength. Like when it comes to swimming challenges, Josh is one of the best swimmers on the challenge right now.
Yeah. I think if CT infiltrates, goes to the Emerald Cell, they don't have a problem and takes Emmanuel's spot. They don't have a problem with that.
Right. That doesn't stop Tori from hooking up with Emmanuel.
Yeah.
The point is like you should be taking the shot because the reasoning for taking Corey is, oh, he's been to multiple finals. CT just won the last fucking final. Yes. Take the fucking shot.
Yeah. Now is the time. Now is definitely the time. Because if it doesn't work out, there's still time to potentially counterbalance it.
Exactly. There's so much other avenues you can cross. You don't have to just do the track of we're scared of CT, so we won't name him.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought it was a bad move. And it would have been an exciting episode. As a result, this episode was a dud.
Yeah.
Well, okay. So thinking realistically here, say Emerald does again win next week. Yeah. Do you think they finally take the shot?
No, because it's a girls' week.
Yeah.
So they take the shot at Ashley.
Oh, fuck. Yeah.
So
I think they missed their window because how many more weeks are they really going to do these teams for?
Well, like how many people are left?
This thing ends in December. So
there's six episodes left, and I have to assume one of those is a reunion episode. So right. Five episodes and a reunion.
Two part reunion, two part finale.
Or three episodes and a two part reunion. So it's like, so we have six people on Emerald. We now have four people on Sapphire, four people on Rubay. So that's 14 people. I could see them eliminating like four more people and then do a final.
I think they're going to do an eight-person final.
Okay.
No, I'm just guessing because if they're not running this in teams, I think they're going to do where they have the partnerships in the final where they mix and match.
Well, then they're going to need to have double boot episodes then because they don't have the time to do that.
Any chance that they could do it where you send in a guy and a girl and then they pick someone to compete against and then they do a partner like we've seen?
I just don't think they're doing the partner stuff anymore. It's now individual throughout.
I would just prefer to see that twist because I think it would make it more interesting.
I don't know if it'd be more interesting because we went through an entire half season of that.
What I want to happen is like you get to 10. You get to 10, you run the first part of the final individually.
Yeah.
The last place guy and girl for the first portion of it automatically go out. So sort of like a la All-Stars. And then through there, it becomes like All-Stars where it's like you rotate your partners through each stage. And then it's like that sets you up for the last day for who gets to go first going up the mountain or whatever.
So having a little bit of a purge at the beginning to knock a couple people out. Yeah.
I think that's fair.
I don't mind the purges. I'm totally fine with them. I think it just makes people actually have to severely fight for their spot to get there.
Yeah, I'm cool with it.
Yeah, so Corey gets drawn at the end of the day. But Corey and Kyle both make it known before Corey gets picked. Like, if you put my name down there, we're infiltrating. There's no name off the table.
Yeah. He gives the middle fingers in his confessional, the double middle fingers. He's compromised. Word. And then he threatens Devin. And I'm just like, whoa, like Devin's not responsible for this. But Devin did have a great, threatening after the vote. That's not
how this works.
like that would have been a great conversation prior to deliberation.
And it's like you also see that it's like Devin and Nelson talking because like they had the RU to one connection.
Yeah.
So they've known each other for so long as well. And like Nelson's even trying to defend Devin there. He's like, dude, it wasn't Devin who did this. Yeah. And Devin's like trying to say like, and I think Devin was real there when he was saying, dude, the last two times I wanted to throw Logan down there. Yep. Josh stopped me twice.
Yep.
So, you know, I get you're angry. Be angry at the right person.
Yep. So why do we think Devin ultimately folded then? Because I know we talked about a little bit previously where Devin's normally somewhat of a leader and tries to drive the strategy, but he never was successful in getting Logan going in the past two times.
Because Josh has Casey and Nani, and that's already three of them. Yeah. And then through that, Emmanuel will do what Casey says, and then through there, Tori will like work. Like, Tori's not going to rock the boat of a decision-making decision. She's just trying to coast this right now, so she's not going to fall on Devin's side there. So Devin ultimately has to go down. Because you have to remember, going into the season, Devin's like, I need to regain my political power, so I need to attach myself to the power structure that was the big brother of Casey and Josh. Josh has more sway in this particular season. Josh has more sway.
What she did do, and that was a great strategy, instead of targeting each other, they aligned with each other. But I will say, I think Nani, if you give her a good pitch and a good reason why, sometimes she thinks it through and is strategic with her thoughts and might then side with you.
But I think the pitch, it, like, I think Casey and Josh, or I think Josh is making the guy decisions, the guy's eliminator decisions. Casey's making the women's eliminator decisions, and Nani's backing Casey because they're together.
Right.
And Josh and Casey are backing each other because they're letting them control their own fates in their gender specific eliminators.
And like, in the end of the day, Corey is someone that Devin wants out in this season. So it's like, is he really going to argue on that hill too hard?
Yeah.
For it?
Because it's not like Corey has Devin's back, because we saw, you know, as soon as deliberation's over, the first person goes to attack is Devin, who wasn't even responsible for it.
Yeah, because he thinks it's his fault. I will say, I think the best thing for Josh's game was actually Fessy going.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, this guy's not a
different according
player.
To Corey.
Well, no, not according to Corey, but I'm saying, I think taking Fessy out of the picture has let Josh be able to play Josh's game and not have to worry about somebody else's game that they're attached to the hip with each other, even though they were going at it. But I think if they're on the same season with each other again, I don't think Josh is as successful, to be honest.
No. Because I think when you have Fessy with any – Fessy is the alpha male, just based on look – size and all those things, he gets, you know, he's the alpha male. If they're fighting for a piece of meat, Bessie's gonna take it.
Yeah,
but not during Ramadan, because he's not allowed to have it,
only at night.
Yes.
Yeah, so we get more of the bickering.
Josh did fuck over both Corey and Fessy, both alleged friends. However, this is a fucking game, man.
Yeah, but he said he did it for his new connection in Logan. And like, that's the issue that we have in this episode. And like, Nani highlights, like, everyone has a relationship with someone. And I'm like, that's the thing with the challenge. Like, it's different when it comes to, I feel like, for a returning season of Survivor or Big Brother. Like, those relationships are formed over multiple seasons length of time off the show. You're building these relationships, and then you're suddenly on the beach together. Like, the challenge is a different animal, I feel.
Yeah,
you need to be able to use your relationships and like find your ways. So, like, I can backstab these people, but we can still be chill off the show.
Yeah.
So like, you're doing like all these mental gymnastics because you're not just fighting for this season; you're fighting for future seasons. So it makes a lot of these people make scared moves.
Right. Well, and every season it's different as well, because you see people going at each other the previous season. Then all of a sudden, the next season, they decide to align with each other, and it sometimes works in their benefit, sometimes it doesn't. And that's the thing that's different about the challenge, because you see so many people constantly coming back. So you're going to get a new dynamic, especially with different rookies coming into the season as well.
Yeah. And I feel like more of their interaction is based in game versus Survivor and Big Brother. The interaction on a returning season is based on outside the game, because there is so much time.
Right. Yeah. But you know, they're arguing with each other, and Corey's just like, you know, whenever you want to win the argument, you just go, I'm speaking facts. Doesn't matter if they're facts. Let's just put that in there. It must be true. He said it.
Yes. So we're down in the lair, and the compromise agent is Corey. And TJ asks, who are you calling out? And
Nelly T.
Corey stepped all over his line, like, because he wanted to get it out so bad, but he just stepped.
He's just like so amped up at that point where he's like, so he can't remember what he was like thinking in his head. He was gonna say, but he's like, sand, see this sand? This is what I'm here for. I'm here to be in the sand.
He goes, I'm calling out Nelly T. And he just says it so fast.
No, I'm kidding. I would never put Nelly T down here. He's my brother.
But he follows like, I'm calling out Nelly T. Just kidding. Like, he didn't even get it out for it to marinate for a second. And I'm just like, oh.
So I would just love a pause just for to get a Nelson reaction.
Yeah.
And then you guys, the confessional. That's the ultimate betrayal.
Oh, yes.
Spies and lies.
Oh, I have no yes. But no, he stepped all over it. And I get it, man, because he's trying to pump himself up. I mean,
he's a former athlete. Like, he's trying to get into that headspace again.
But he's also trying to make television because he understands how that works. But yeah, just stepped all over. I'm like, oh, damn it. So swing and a miss.
But ultimately, he calls Logan down. And Logan had multiple confessionals in this episode where he was like, okay, Corey, calm me down. I'll kill you.
Yeah. Right.
I will bring you death. Yes. I'm like, Logan, I get it. You're not you're not American. But you don't have to just do the trope of foreigner who says he's gonna kill the American.
He should have just said it in Spanish. I think that would have been much easier for him.
Muerto something.
Yeah. You know what? I would actually be all for you have all these international people. Get into people's head by cursing them out in your native language.
Oh yeah,
I'm for it.
Just keep saying stuff, talking shit in your native tongue at them.
Yeah,
so you just get Corey confused.
So, I think that would make Logan a little more compelling if we had him.
Oh yeah, we need him to be like, and we're going tropes. We need him to be like in like the Spanish like telenovelas, like the dude with the big twirly mustache, with the evil monologues, you know. But no, we just get monotone.
We don't get monologues, we get monotone. So the Eliminator is the rope burn Eliminator, and the difference
Why is it between, on fire?
The difference between TJ Lavin and Jeff Probst, never more evident. Let's light this fucker up. This is TJ's exact words.
Like, does the fire do anything? You're probably feeling the heat a little bit, but you're never in danger of the fire.
They immediately start swinging it to put it out, and it essentially does.
Yeah, and then the fire at the bottom of their base goes out almost instantly.
Yeah,
you know how TJ is a good. He wants fire. He wants explosives. So I'm not surprised that we got it in this elimination.
Well, I was looking at it, and he's calling it rope burn, and it's just it's the rope. Stuff that you do at the gym. That's all it is. It's a tug of war in essence. And he's like, but it's on fire for 5 seconds.
So,
Johnny, what do you think the challenge budget was for it?
Oh, $8.
$8? Okay.
Yeah, $8. $8. It was
definitely $8 of kerosene.
The rope was $5. It was $3 in kerosene.
Okay.
That's why it went out so quickly. They didn't use enough. They're like, oh, if we only had $4 in kerosene.
Well, what they should have done each time that they put it out with swinging the rope around, they're like, pause, we got to relight it so we can have a fire time.
They did relight it between rounds.
They did,
re-soaked and relit. Emmy explained to the viewers that, don't worry about Logan. He is a survivor.
Oh, now it matters.
Hey, motherfucker, there was 8 of you to start the show. The largest contingent foreign alliance here, and you're like, no.
And then you just wipe them all out, and now we only have a few left, and so we want to have a survivor alliance.
You got 3.
Yeah,
you have 3.
All the rookies.
Yeah,
all the rookies that are left are the international survivor people.
Wait, the survivors the best. Yeah. They're smarter. Yeah. They're craftier. They're better.
Right. But I do agree with that. Like Logan. It's in this essence, he's smarter than Corey. He had the better strategy. I had a problem with, I honestly feel this would have been shorter. You shouldn't be allowed to sit on the platform. It should have been the rule should have been you can maybe get to a knee and get yourself back up, but But like, if you get onto both your knees or on your butt, it's like you, that should count as you falling off.
Yeah, that should have been an eliminator.
Because like, they both did it.
Yep.
I did not think though that Corey was gonna not score a point at all.
Oh, I did. That's what Corey does. He chokes in elimination.
Well, but I'm just saying,
he wasn't called for years on multiple podcasts and on the challenge Popcorn Muscles for nothing.
But now the muscles are there. The problem is this, if the best thing you could do going into this challenge is be a surfer.
Well, it's not even just that. It's having the right strategy. Corey was trying to attack the entire time, where the better strategy is to
find that spot.
Defense,
yep.
And wait for your, it's all about timing. Like, so he had that part right. Like, I need to wear him down. The issue was he was trying to wear him down, but wearing himself out in the process, where he should have just been, it's a game of chicken. Like, who's going to make the first move? Because once someone makes a move, you make a counteracting move to try to get them off balance. That's all it is.
The reactionary move that did it.
Yeah, like, well, we saw it in All Stars. It's like, brute strength isn't going to win it.
Yep. Yeah, Mark Long won with strategy. With a counter move.
Yeah.
I mean, Logan did have the better strategy with it. As soon as he saw that Corey was taking a small moment to take a little break, that's when he went into action. And that's the thing. You're right, Alex. We haven't seen Corey perform the best when you have to think strategically in those type of eliminations.
Also, when they involve fire. Like, if anyone wants to see one of the worst eliminations of all time, look up on, like, YouTube somehow the elimination he had against Nelson, where it was basically kick a flaming soccer ball.
Ugh.
In sand. Like, the sand makes it harder. I'll give you that. But it was one of the worst performances by both of them. And Nelson basically just won by not sucking as much.
As a soccer player, that was cringe to watch. The worst thing I've ever seen, because I'm like, this is it's awful.
Yeah.
Maybe he should have learned. You should become a surfer to do better at a soccer and or tug of war challenge.
Well, now he can buy the two surfboards for himself and learn how to surf somehow in Michigan.
Oh, there you go.
If he's still living there, he's probably living in California now, but like.
But if he is in Michigan, you got Lake Erie. Yeah. You got other lakes, you know, like Michigan. Hey, maybe I should have gone with Lake Michigan first.
No, that's the gimme.
Okay.
You can go all the way up to the UP and everything too while you're at it.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, but anyway, Logan does, in fact, he kills Corey. He kills him.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you, Ivan Drago.
Yeah.
And then Apollo Creed died, and then Rocky came back and avenged his death.
Yeah, somehow he died, but still got up in time with enough time to give Nelson a hug.
Yes.
Say, I no longer can take the bullets for you.
So he does end, you know, with explaining to the viewers at home that he will be back and he will claim vengeance for all. And
they only panned Josh there.
And yes, I once again, Josh versus Corey next season. Bring it. I'm here for it.
Now, do we think Corey's ever going to win one of these?
I would like it just so that he's not an Anissa player who just keeps coming and never wins.
Yeah. I thought this was his season to win.
I thought last season was the season for him.
I felt like, you know, like all he was all over the preview. Like I felt like the preview is just like, hey, you guys been waiting for a Corey win? Okay, we're gonna give it.
Yeah. I honestly believe last season was going to be his season just because he was also all over the preview, but he was also all over the season the entire time. But then it was just like, oh, CT and Amber randomly got paired up. They win.
Yeah. There you have it.
And, I mean, I hope for a Corey win, but I don't think we're gonna see it.
Yeah, but you see, Logan, he's smart. He just outsmarted Corey to win this elimination. So, you know, using his brain, he now has the choice of whether to stay on Ruby or infiltrate a team. And he's like, well, I said I'm Ruby till death, but once someone takes a shot at me, it's dead. So now I can't stay with them, even though that person's gone.
Yeah.
Anyway, so he's like, immediately then goes, well, I will not take a spot at Emerald.
Yes.
And I'm like, dumbass.
Yes. Why? Like, Logan has nothing
because
to do.
Because he doesn't
want to
betray his friend Josh and what Josh is doing.
Who the fuck cares? At this point, you have nothing to lose because you've been targeted so many times already.
I don't have a problem with him going. Like, honestly, on paper, Sapphire is strong as fuck for dailies.
Yes. I just like I still feel like maybe it's not so much my frustration with him, but my frustration just over all these four episodes of no one just like going against the word and then going like, oh yeah, we're still gonna infiltrate Emerald. But like, the guys at least had their reasonings. And I guess Emmy did too, but I was just like, someone should have done it.
Yeah. Shake up the game. That we need Priscilla to come back to shake up the game because clearly no one else is gonna do it.
Yeah. In an eliminator, I like Kyle over Logan. But in a daily, I definitely like Logan over Kyle because he's gonna try.
Yeah. But yeah, so anyway, for like next week, my hopes and prayers are that Sapphire does win the daily, protect Ashley at all costs.
Yes.
Well,
I did like when so Kyle has to go to Team Ruby and you had Amanda going, Ruby. Yeah.
You can't escape me, Kyle.
I mean, that's what we need. That's what we need from Amanda. But hey, listen, maybe Ruby pulls it off next week.
No.
We never know.
No
chance.
That is the most dysfunctional four people you can have on a team together of these like 14 people that are left.
Well, okay, if it does happen, I would be here for it, and I know you guys would as well.
But if Kyle's not trying for Sapphire, he's not trying for Ruby in this dilapidated state.
Kyle at this point is just like, I just need to survive. Yep. Let me get to the final.
I've already been in one eliminator. I've paid my dues. There's other motherfuckers that can pay theirs.
It's a girl's day.
It's a girl's day.
So I'm really not going to try hard.
Yes.
So if Sapphire does win, who do you think they send in?
Unfortunately, I think they would just like it's CT who will be making the call there, and CT is going to be like, oh, we're going to throw in Big T because I don't want to have a chance of working with Big T in the final. Or like, it's you're going to be like Big T or Amanda get put in there because they're being classified as the weak girls.
Yeah.
Because they know that if they put Casey, Nani, or Tori in, they're going to pick one of those two anyway.
They'll probably pick, I would realistically think they'll probably pick Big T. So why take the shot at those three? Yep. You're right.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe we get like a Big T versus Tori. Get that grudge match.
Oh, there we go.
If Big T won that, I would be here for it forever.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Okay, there we go. Maybe it's a donut eating contest.
Donuts and pizza.
I'm not answering. Yeah. With that. Wow. Oh. All right. So, once again, the podcast was more fun than the episode. You're welcome, everyone.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, and like, you know what? We have a lot that we're doing on this channel. Lauren, do you want to talk about the deep dive?
Oh, the deep dive. The deep dive with myself and Alex Rubino. Each and every week, we are digging deep into the Survivor episode. And this week, we have a guest coming on. I'm not going to reveal the guest. You'll have to wait and see. Ooh. But be sure to check us out. I do not know when we are recording yet, but we will be live with it. So,
yes. So it's time TBD.
Well, if you just press the subscribe button, you'll get the alert.
Yeah, and there click that go. Bell for all notifications. And then obviously, Johnny, myself, and Matt will be back on Wednesdays talking Survivor.
Yeah, on the after show, right after the episode, right on Wednesday night at 9:05 p.m. Eastern. And then...
we're gonna figure something out for the challenge.
We got All Stars next week.
Yeah, All Stars starts next week.
What is
so
the
we
plan
need to figure
this?
Something out.
I don't know. We'll figure it out. we'll figure it out during the commercial break and let everyone know next week. Once again, press subscribe and click the alerts. So, and with that, thank you, Alex. Thank you, Lauren. Thank you, me. And let's hear from our final sponsors.
Autumn is in the air, the pumpkins are in the patch, and our friends at Manscaped are here to make sure you don't carve your pants pumpkins when you're grooming, if you know what I'm saying. Make sure you're keeping things fresh this fall with the leaders in male grooming and their brand new 4th Generation Performance Package. Boys, get ready for cuffing season like no other. Ready to take the leap into fall with Manscaped? Join the 2 million men worldwide using Manscaped by going to manscaped.com for 20% off and free shipping with promo code SURVIVOR.
Now listen, I have had my fair share of mishaps in the past, and going into Halloween, the guys like to dress scary, the girls like to dress inviting, and as a result, you're bound to get your pants down if you do things right. Well, you don't want a big bush down there. You want those things freshly trimmed, shaved so perfectly. Don't use a razor. Go to Manscaped. It's the only way, or you will not be getting treats, but only tricks.
It's time to bundle up with the Manscaped Performance Package 4.0. Inside this package, you'll find their Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer, Weed Whacker ear and nose hair trimmer, Crop Preserver ball deodorant, Crop Reviver toner, Performance boxer briefs, and a travel bag to hold your goodies.
First off, the new Performance Package 4.0 includes the new Lawnmower 4.0. And if you're looking to cozy up this fall, this trimmer is essential.
Their fourth generation trimmer features a cutting edge ceramic blade to reduce grooming accidents thanks to their advanced skin safe technology. It also gives you the ability to turn a 4000 LED spotlight on and off when needed for a more precise shave. Plus, it's waterproof.
I hate shaving in the dark. That 4000 LED spotlight, perfect. But the Performance Package 4.0 also includes the Weed Whacker to chop your worst weeds up top in your nose and ear. So you use the Lawnmower 4.0 for your rear, use this for your ear. This nose and hair trimmer uses a 9,000 RPM motor-powered 360-degree rotary dual-blade system to provide proprietary skin-safe technology, which helps against nicks, snags, and tugs in those delicate holes.
Seal the deal with Manscaped's liquid formulations. The Crop Preserver Ball Deodorant. Everyone knows pumpkin spice lattes and ball deodorant go hand in hand.
That's all they're talking about at Target these days. It's crazy. Then after trimming the pumpkin patch and whacking the leaves, give your balls a boost and use the Crop Reviver. Manscaped even threw in two free gifts to their Performance Package 4.0, the Manscaped Boxers and Shed Travel Bag. You see me on the road, I have the Manscaped Shed Travel Bag with me everywhere I go. Get comfy on the home and on the go this season.
So get 20% off and free shipping with the code SURVIVOR at manscaped.com. That's 20% off plus free shipping with the code SURVIVOR at manscaped.com. Make your balls a priority this fall. Choose Manscaped. Your balls will thank you.
Promo code SURVIVOR. I've been trying to cut down on carbs, sugar, and unhealthy food, and realize I basically can't eat anything anymore. I mean, I used to love eating that delicious cereal, but I can't. But wait, I can, thanks to Magic Spoon.
0 grams of sugar, 13 to 14 grams of protein, and only 4 net grams of carbs in each serving. That's only 140 calories a serving.
It's keto-friendly, gluten-free, grain-free, soy-free, and low-carb. Plus, build your own box. Available flavors to build your very own custom bundle are cocoa, fruity, frosted, peanut butter, blueberry, cinnamon, cookies and cream, and my new favorite, maple waffle.
Magic Spoon just recently brought back two super popular flavors, cookies and cream and maple waffle, just like you're talking about, Johnny. Permanently. When these flavors were first introduced for a limited time, they sold out extremely quickly. You should make sure to get these again and try them for the first time. They're delicious and indulgent.
Every morning I wake up, I look into my cabinets. All I have is Magic Spoon cereal. I have all the options. And I'll do a little bit of I'll mix some cookies of cream with a little cinnamon, maybe cocoa and peanut butter. But oh man, that maple waffle just by itself is just something so spectacular. Hey, they're perfect not only for breakfast, but that guiltless midnight snack.
So go to magicspoon.com /survivor to grab a custom bundle of cereal and try it today. And be sure to use our promo code SURVIVOR at checkout to save $5 off your order. And Magic Spoon is so confident in their product, it's backed with a 100% happiness guarantee. So if you don't like it for any reason, they'll refund your money, no questions asked.
Remember, get your next delicious bowl of guilt-free cereal at magicspoon.com/survivor and use promo code SURVIVOR to save $5 off. And thank you to Magic Spoon